A reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. The Gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us in my words, bringing this piece of scripture to life for us. Amen. Well, I wonder, what does the word Christmas mean to you? I went recently to a village school, and as soon as I got there, a year three came up to me and said, "Kate, has the real meaning of Christmas been taken out by all of the commercialism?" It was what they were studying in RE at the time. Well, if we Google images of Christmas, we will have to scroll a long way to find a picture of Jesus. There are some places where people don't say "Happy Christmas." They say "Happy Holidays" for fear of offending someone who is not a believer. Or we might say something like "Peace and goodwill to all men" at this time of year. But what does that actually mean? Well, on this Sunday, when we have lit the last Advent candle in the wreath on our journey of understanding the build-up to Christmas, what better day than today to spend time reminding ourselves of the true meaning of the season? Today, in this passage of the angels singing from the heavens to the shepherds, we get to remind ourselves of what Christmas is really all about. I have been reading this week a book by the Episcopal priest Fleming Rutledge, and it's a book of Advent sermons. And as I have read the different ones, I have been reminded that Advent is about being alert in the darkness. It's about watching and waiting until the light of the world bursts in on Christmas Day as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. That is the reason why Anglican Twitter got incredibly angry with the Church of England for asking people to post pictures of how they were decorating their churches for Advent. They all said, "We do not decorate our churches in Advent. We wait until Christmas Day to do that." Well, we have a lovely tree, and I'm very grateful we don't have to come on Christmas Eve to put it up. So I hope you can cope with the fact that we have decorated our tree in Advent. And as I've read, I've been reminded that we are meant to endure this season of sitting, of questioning, of sensing the dark, of asking ourselves questions about God's character and his provision. Can we really have a loving God if this week 4 people have drowned in the cold sea seeking a better life? Can we believe in a loving God when young children died in a lake in Solihull last Sunday? And as we sit in this time, we read the prophetic passages asking about God's desertion. The passages in the New Testament reminding us to be watching and waiting. The parable of the 10 virgins who needed to be ready for the bridegroom. And in this passage to the shepherds, we see the news that the wait is over. We see the news that the one who they have longed for had come. And this news is delivered to these ordinary men on a hillside near Bethlehem. These men who have been watching and waiting, literally watching their sheep, but waiting for the Messiah. Aware that God had been silent for 400 years, watching and waiting in the dark, deep darkness of that night near Bethlehem. And it might seem extraordinary that the event is first heralded to these men, these shepherds. I did not go to the Buckingham heralding of the new king because we were at Hailee, but when we had the new King Charles in September, all around the towns, they came out in their splendor and they announced that a new king had come. But this time, back in Bethlehem, it was to ordinary people. And what better people than ordinary people to hear this message that this was good news for all the nations. It wasn't good news just for the special, important people. It was good news for all the nations. As we have planned this sermon series in Advent, Peter Williams has constantly been reminding me that this wasn't just news for the Israelites. The birth of Jesus, all throughout Scripture, is promised as good news for all the nations. Because as it says in the Bible, the things of God's kingdom are often hid from the poor and revealed, hid from the rich and revealed in the poor. This good news, which was sung from the heavens to the shepherds, changed their lives, and it changes our lives as well. So what is this great message that the heavenly host brought these shepherds on this cold evening 2,000 years ago? Well, to me, as someone who sometimes struggles to explain what I believe very succinctly as a Christian, what these angels sing is the perfect summary of the gospel. The angel said to them, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." And we learn so much truth from these few verses. We see that the angels were terrified. Well, I think I would be absolutely terrified as well if an angel suddenly appeared in the sky. I was Mary in Christmas Unwrapped. And can you imagine if you were just ordinarily going about your day and then suddenly an angel appeared right there? It would be terrifying, wouldn't it? We learn that this was a message for all people. The angels say, good news that will cause great joy for all the people. This was not just for the Israelites. This was not just for the people who had been waiting for the Messiah. This baby being born was great news for everyone who would ever live. Well, can you remember where you were on July the 22nd, 2013? Of course, it was the birth of Prince George. And I remember that day, I remember the excitement that a new prince had been born. And the news spread across the world. There was a 62-gun salute from the Tower of London. There were bells rung in celebration in Westminster Abbey. British landmarks lit up. The London Eye, the Jubilee Bridge, Trafalgar Square. They stuck an easel up outside Buckingham Palace, but then Buckingham Palace also tweeted it out to the world. The world wanted to know that a prince had been born. But it wasn't news that changed our lives. Yes, Prince George will be king one day, and maybe some of us here will live to see it. But he will not change our day-to-day existence. Jesus will. How will he change our lives? Because he is a savior who has been born to us, the Messiah, the Lord. Scripture made clear that only God could be a savior. Isaiah 43, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no savior. Only God could be man's savior. However, at the same time, the prophecies promised a man, a king, the Messiah, the Christ, who would come at last to be the champion of God's people and usher in a whole new world order. When we see here from this announcement that both of these things will come together in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the promised Messiah, the Christ, the anointed deliverer, is God himself, the Savior. And the angels sing, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. On YouTube, there is a lovely video from a New Zealand church, and it's about the angels getting ready for the birth of Jesus and suggesting to God all the ways in which they could tell the people that Jesus had been born. And one of the loveliest bits is at the end when they say to God, please can we sing for him? Please let us sing for Jesus. Because there is real rejoicing in heaven over this event, the glory of God being celebrated. Because God has put himself back at center stage of earth. From this moment on, those who give their lives to God are the ones who recognize that God wants to be at the center of their existence. Because faith in God isn't a crutch. Faith in God isn't like Santa when he's there for us when we have been nice and not naughty, and when he only listens to us in times of need. The Christian message, the gospel message, is all about God acting to take center stage in his world, a world that had rejected him and one that he had withdrawn from because of our own rebellion. The Christmas message is about God taking center stage. God has put himself back in the center, and he has done it even if no one sees it, other than these shepherds and a few others. And in doing so, he is glorified. He is glorified in the heavens, in the highest and most abundant honor and blessing. All of heaven see it. All these angels know it, and they sing about it from the heavens, even if no one on earth ever accepts it. And then these angels sing that this brings peace. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And this is a precious and special type of peace. It isn't a glib thing like goodwill and peace be with all mankind. This is real and lasting peace when God finds his rightful place on earth among his people as the Lord of everything. We are all estranged from God before we find peace with him. The things that we have done, which have rebelled against him, can only be restored when we come to God and ask for reconciliation. And in that moment, we find peace. When I was a teacher and I would teach about forgiveness, I would tell the story of Gordon Wilson, who lived in Northern Ireland. And after the death of his daughter in a bombing, he was on the news that evening and he said, "I bear the killers no ill will. I pray for them tonight." And it is said that that powerful message of forgiveness was one of the ways in which they journeyed towards the Northern Ireland peace agreement, because someone had spoken these words of forgiveness and peace. Well, God comes at last to restore all things and to bring everlasting peace on earth through reconciliation with him. And we find this through the Savior God himself. And we can rejoice, because we see from this song of praise that the message of the gospel, that God was so desperate to reconcile with us and that he paid himself to do this on the cross. This is why the angels say that this is great news of great joy. This is why they tell these shepherds that this is great news for all the people. God's love is the center of the Christmas message. Love that is trumpeted from the heavens to these lowly shepherds on a hillside. And then we see the response of the shepherds. How did these ordinary men respond? They go immediately to Bethlehem. No questions, no doubts. They believe that what they had been told, and off they went to worship. They realize that this great news required a personal response from them. And they go with haste. They do not delay. This demonstrates the truth that they have found in what they have heard from the angels. Do not delay. Returning to one of the messages of Advent, we do not know the hour or the day when Jesus will return for the second Advent. But if we believe that this is the truth, if we believe that this is what we have been told, and that we believe that it has come true, then we must come to God and we must ask to find peace with him through our Savior, through our Messiah, Jesus. I hope you have done this. I hope you have received this great news that God has sent Jesus to be our Savior and the great reconciler. And if you have not done that yet, do not delay. Do not put it off. Investigate it. Ask questions. If you want to come on Alpha next year and ask those questions, the things that you're unsure of, then we would love to have you. So coming back, as I end, to what the true message of Christmas is. God's love is the true message of Christmas. A God of boundless and everlasting, compassionate love, who sent his Son to be our Savior, to be our Messiah. And that is why the angels sang this from the heavens, their praise to God in excelsis, so we could praise him today as well. Amen.